The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Undisputed Era has arrived.
You have the 25 days of Christmas. Impact's going to have the 25 days of releases.
I send it you to deletion! Yeah!
It's hashtag Alpha versus Omega.
Let's just say hashtag aroused.
No, you're going to step in that ring, and you're going to be looking at me eye to eye, and you're going to realize you ain't got a chance.
Thank God we don't have to talk about it anymore, because she got that cancer out of there.
Sean stole my answer. I'm just glad we don't have to talk about this shit anymore.
And that's not an insult. That is just a fact of life.
Got a broken leg. Some stitches in the eye coming. Spent 2018 on the hospital bed. New Year's Day. Hell of a year. Gotta go get x-rays. Got stitches. He told me not even to take the shoe off. What? Like, what? How am I supposed to go to the hospital in this? Alpha?
We'll take a look at your ankle.
I need a minute, dude. Just give me a minute. No!
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the mat.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Hello and welcome to another great edition of Wrestling to the Max. This is episode 281, part one, folks, and we are excited to be here with you. We, of course, are brought to you by W2Mnet.com, the place where you'll go get all your great wrestling podcasts and a lot more. And hey, do us a favor, go hit that subscribe button wherever you can find us, and subscribing to Wrestling to the Max or the W2M Network, whatever one you choose, definitely helps us, and it helps you. It gets all our podcasts in one nice package for you guys. You never have to come and search for us again. Also, while you're there and while you're doing these things, make sure you hit that rate button. If you want to hit 5 stars, 4 stars, I just want you to hit that button. That way we get a chance to know what you think about the show, and we also get a chance to get a little bit more exposure. Review too, man. Anything you have to say about us, we just want to hear it. So make sure you hit rate and review and do all that. And we appreciate those that have already done that. And hi, also, big love to 411mania.com and lastwordonprowrestling.com, both great supporters of ours. We want to give them some love too. So make sure you do that for us. And one last thing, make sure you also, hey, let us know what you think about the review shows that we do every week, too. We make sure you go check out SmackDown Live, 205 Live. Of course, me and Paul do Raw every week, along with NXT. So I never really promote those a lot on the beginning of these shows, but I want to make sure that people do know we review all these shows every week. So if you're just a primary listener of Wrestling to the Max, we got a lot more content you're not getting to hear if you're not listening to those shows. And tonight, once again, I am here. I am your host, Gary Vaughn, and along with me, Paul Leeser.
Hey-o.
And Sean is out tonight. To be fair, we started this a little later tonight, so I think Sean got busy, or maybe he has Betty Bye again, but you know what? I mean, I feel bad. But Sean also had a big assignment. He had to do the college football playoffs. That's right. The championship game was up against Monday Night Raw, and Sean, of course, you know, being the football editor, being the football podcaster he is, he had, of course, watched that national championship game, stayed up pretty late doing it, too. And so it kind of put things in perspective of why he might not be able to be on tonight. But that's okay. He'll probably join us for Thursday's show. But yeah, Paul, I'm excited to be here, man. We've got some really cool news topics to talk about tonight and quick hits. We also got Ring of Honor, their first TV taping that has actually, you know, been played for us on air for 2018. So a lot of stuff that actually kind of fell out of Final Battle, which is a little old now, but we're finally getting a chance to see some of the fallout from that show. So we got a really, I'll be honest with you, a fun show. I'm excited about this one. We've got some cool content. Before we get into all of that, I got to mention, you know, we did a big deal this last Thursday night on our show when we talked about Wrestle Kingdom 12 and all the great things that took place there. But following that was New Year's Dash, and we never really got a chance to talk about it until you and Sean did a special on that. And I have yet to hear it yet. I'm sorry, I've been busy, but I'm definitely going to check it out. But I just have to say, I did watch it, Paul. I promise you, I did.
Oh.
And, yeah, and it was a lot of fun to watch. There's a lot of big things on that show, and you guys have suggested a few things to watch, and I'm going to go ahead and suggest them to the people out there that, you know, may have not got to hear the show that you and Sean did. I want to promote, listen to that. But also, make sure you go check out a few of these matches. I mean, it was really fun. They did some really cool stuff. Repugnant 3K. I love that whole deal with the Young Bucks playing off the bad back still. That was great. Amazing. Oh, my God. Great. I know you, Sean, probably talked quite a bit about that. I love that. Also, I mean, you aren't lying. You warned me. You actually stayed up all night and watched this show. So you texted me, and I didn't see it till the next morning. But I cannot get over how excited I am about Naito and Chris Jericho. I don't know what this next hashtag is going to be, but it's going to be pretty serious, Paul. It's right now. It's without words of excitement. It's like it's like when you scream so loud you can't scream at all.
Right. I mean, it's got to be way vulgar. Is the only thing I could think of because. I mean, you talk about Jericho, you talk about Naito, and that whole interaction at the end of New Year's Dash, which if you haven't watched it, spoiler alert, but geez, I saw that and immediately I was like, oh man, I gotta tell Gary because he will not be able to contain himself anytime we bring this up. This is the dream for him, and boy, I was kind of hoping for maybe a little more, but yeah, whenever we figure out that new hashtag for us in relation to that match, I don't know if we'll be able to say it on air.
I was trying to think of the best way to some of the first initial hashtags I had in mind, okay? But I'm right there with you. I don't know what's really appropriate because we try to keep this a little tame. That way maybe someone could drive in their car with, you know, maybe a kid in their car and listen to us. Sometimes we fail at that. That's okay. Right now, hashtag O-Face was one of them. And of course, to be honest with you, hashtag cream came to mind. So that's not too vulgar. I think maybe we could just, you know, leave it at that, right?
I think so. I like hashtag O-Face personally.
We'll stick with that one. I don't know. Some of the other ones I had to say were, I'll be honest, I don't want to feel, I think I'd be blushing if I said some of the other things I wanted to say. So I can't tell you how excited I am about that match. And by the way, I mean, I'm super excited about that too. The fact that apparently Jericho and Naito are going to be taking on that match at the Long Beach show this year for at the G1 beginning, right? At the start of the whole G1?
I didn't know if that had been made official yet. That's the talk, is that it could headline the U.S. show in April for Strong Style Evolved over there in Long Beach.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's official either. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. I heard the same rumor. So you don't know how hard it is to contain myself and not try to find a way to California.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about selling out at an arena quick, fast, and in a hurry. That's how you do it.
Yeah. But just what a fabulous start to 2018 for New Japan. I mean, two of their biggest shows, New Year's Dash is probably not their biggest show, but it was definitely a great encore to what Wrestle Kingdom 12 had to offer. I've got to admit that. And I even loved the Young Lions, the beginning match. That was a lot of fun to watch, too.
Oh, the Young Lions, so. they're just a blast to watch. And New Year's Dash just sort of helps get the ball rolling into 2018. Which is sort of a new thing. This is only the third year that it's really been like a must-watch thing, sort of like Raw after WrestleMania. But, you know, it's really, really cool that they did this, and we're going to talk about some other stuff that maybe helps get the ball rolling for some other stories throughout the year here in Quick Hits. But, man, you're right. It is a heck of a start. Wrestle Kingdom was great. I love New Year's Dash. It's a really fun show, top to bottom. And if you haven't watched it yet, please out there do.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sorry if I spoiled things for you, but trust me, it's worth a watch. These guys spoiled me, and I watched it and loved every bit of it. So it's not like it's going to ruin it completely for you. Trust me, there's a lot more show that I didn't even get into. And once you do watch it, trust me, you do want to go hear Sean and Paul talk about it, because they're going to give you some insights that you don't maybe know about, or maybe you haven't heard yet, or maybe you just haven't thought about. So go check out that. And, of course, check out that great W2M special that those two guys did. It I'm sure it was wonderful.
We had we had Harry Broadhurst on that show, too, who is trying to get into New Japan. So you got me and Sean, who've been around it for a while, and Harry, who's sort of brand new to the whole deal, giving his thoughts too. So it's nice foil there.
Yeah, I'm glad about it. Thank you for saying that, because once again, I didn't miss the show, so I am going to check it out with Harry. And I'm going to be like Harry. I really am, Paul. I'm going to do my best. I am going to try to dive into this and get into as much New Japan as I can.
Yeah, oh, it's worth it.
Let's just see how they go with it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the thing. I may need you to hold my hand a few times here. We'll be singing that Beatles song as we go through 2018. I just my hand, okay? But we'll get through it together.
I got you, babe.
But anyway, hey, there's some great news topics like you. Another great one. Let's just hope it's not Groundhog Day. But anyway, let's talk Quick Hits, Paul. We've got some great ones.
Let's do it.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick Hits.
Take it away, Gary.
All right. Well, let's start off by talking about something that is really kind of interesting, for the fact that a lot of people, including us, have been really curious about the future of Daniel Bryan and what's going to happen, what he's planning on doing. Those kind of things have always kind of come up in conversation, at least on this show and, you know, honestly, outside of this show. Mm-hmm. And saying that, WWE really doesn't know themselves. They're still up in the air. They have no idea. They've yet to clear him to wrestle. He keeps making the comments that, hey, he still wants to wrestle. So they are at an impasse at the moment. Yet we have to have something take place, right? The future is going to keep going on. And eventually time will run out. Well, mm-hmm. Apparently WWE has decided that there could be a possibility of turning Daniel Bryan heel. That way, if his contract runs out and he cannot make an agreement, he can go out and, you know, basically be a bad guy moving on and not being a fan favorite, at least to their eyes, moving forward. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if you really can change people loving Daniel Bryan. I think they're going to do it if, you know, he slaps somebody in the face or not.
Right. To me, if this is anywhere in the realm of a thought that has been bandied about as a reason to turn him heel, then clearly WWE just does not understand modern wrestling audiences these days. if we're talking about the 1980s, 70s, maybe. Recently, hell no. Like, people will cheer whoever they want to cheer. They're going to cheer whoever they like. And especially if Daniel Bryan turns heel, it's going to make sense with the story, because he's aligning with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Like, it's this is one of the wrestling thing, like, news things that sort of bothers me, too, is that something's happening on screen that you can pretty clearly see, but they start making up other reasons for it. If this is, like I said, if this is anywhere true, then WWE is much, much deeper in trouble than we thought, if this is the line of thinking here, because there's no way it's going to hurt him.
Yeah, I mean, I use a very calm reference to slapping somebody in the face, but let's just be honest. Daniel Bryan going out there and shivving somebody would probably still get the effect of the fans cheering.
Exactly,
and,
yeah.
I mean, like, oh, you know, we're so sorry. You know, we lost one of our greatest superstars tonight because of Daniel Bryan, and everybody's like, yeah, yes.
We hated that guy anyways.
Or Randy Orton. Anyway, the one thing that really interests me in all this is the fact that, like you said, not the 1980s, these kind of storylines don't work out the right way for the fact that ever since the Attitude Era, we're all anti-establishment, we're all anti-hero now. Mm-hmm. If you look at guys in the comic world, Paul, you know, we talk about Deadpool being one of the biggest lately, kind of an anti-hero. He don't mind killing people. Right. No problem with it. He's just not really a good guy. He's not Captain America. Wolverine doesn't care about anybody else. Only cares about doing what he needs to do, even if he had to slash through 100,000 people to do it. And there's probably that goes on and on. But I'm just bringing up the fact that this is pop culture now, and this is who we are as a culture. And it shows throughout the wrestling world. But their thought process here, it doesn't make any sense. And maybe it makes them feel better. Maybe they feel better if Daniel Bryan goes out as a heel. That way, when he moves on to the next thing, maybe they can save themselves. Well, at least we tarnish the end for him. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I could think. And does it really tarnish? No, it doesn't. It's the joke's on them, I feel like.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on all of that. Like, there's no way anything you could try to do on screen, I mean, short of maybe kicking a baby, and that's been done on WWE TV before, so I don't feel like it's out of the realm of possibility, but the guy is so over. You did everything you could to make this guy, and sure, it's unfortunate that he might not be working for you anymore, but like, I don't think there's anything they can do to slow down any of his momentum. Like, the dude is sort of made for life, in a way.
So, I mean, in the long run, I mean, we'll have to continue to follow this. But, you know, like I said, I mean, Daniel Bryan is a guy that I think, you know, going out of the company, bad guy, good guy, you know, gray area guy. I just think really the joke's on WWE, and we'll have to see if they really change their mind on this. I mean, this is once again a rumor. This is something we've read. This is nothing that's concrete. So I don't want people saying, well, you guys said this and it's not the case. No, it's just the fact that this is some of the things coming out right now. And WWE is going to try to work it out. I don't believe that WWE is going to walk away from the table this early. Mm-hmm. Like, I really feel like we're going to continue to talk about Daniel Bryan until they finally make that decision. And yes, it's coming up sooner than later. But right now, we just don't know. So this is all speculation. But it's kind of fun to kind of chat about because, you know, WWE sometimes seems so clueless. So
definitely reeks of that this go around in this subject for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about something else that maybe they're clueless about, or maybe they're onto something. But apparently, Dave Meltzer, you know, for the Wrestling Observer, has kind of made some comments and brought some things to light. And one of those, and I kind of touched on this last Thursday, but we're going to actually get into it here. Apparently, WWE is not really all that sold on Bayley anymore. In fact, it seems as they've given up on her completely, and just does not seem like that they are prepared to really even use her going forward to do much of anything. We've even seen her take pinfalls before. We've seen other people take pinfalls, like Mickie James, who's kind of brought into the company to do such things. Mm-hmm. Wow, I mean, this is kind of a sad thing. I hate that we're even talking about this, Paul. But, I mean, in a way, it seems like part of this is on Bayley, but part of this is on WWE, I feel like. I don't know.
I don't know if I necessarily buy into the story, first of all. She's still pretty prominent on screen as far as being involved in the Absolution feud and all that. So, I don't know necessarily if I believe that. She certainly is on the back burner right now, and it's necessary because we talk about that women's title run she had on Raw and everything after that in the feud with Alexa, and they just completely mishandled her, in my opinion. Like, they never got around to trying to evolve the character or anything like that. They just kept her the same, and she ended up looking silly. So that's... I think that's the biggest setback, and that's still what I think people are sort of remembering right now, even though, like I said, she is on the back burner in this sort of feud with Absolution. So, you know, given up is a very strong term. I would say certainly maybe they've pushed plans back or have nothing for her right now, and that's okay. You know, if you give her some time to cool off and give it some time and you come back with a really great story for her, I don't imagine there's no reason why she couldn't get herself back over again.
I agree. The one thing that I look at this situation as is WWE wanted to bring Bayley in like she left NXT. Huge fan favorite. All the kids love her. She's a big deal when it comes to just getting that cartoony kind of thing going on with the kids and even some of the fans that are older that just love the fact that she's this lovable character. Like us. I mean, let's be honest. We gush and gush about how fun Bayley is and how she's so great. And you know, it's just tough when you see someone like that that we've followed for quite a while come in and then all of a sudden kind of disappear. Kind of become someone that doesn't matter. And I do agree with WWE. It hasn't been the overwhelmingly buy-in for the crowd on this Bayley. And I get it. Maybe it's kind of all in your face and you don't know what to think at first and you're just not all on board. Well, if you've never watched NXT, then maybe I get that. Mm-hmm. I really hope your idea of them just kind of pulling her back a little bit, retooling, which I think is a definite. I think they have to do that. It needs to kind of be a process that they do gradually, but not only that, when she does reappear, it needs to be big. Mm-hmm. And if it's not big, they need to pair her up with somebody. And I'm not talking about Sasha Banks. I don't think that even them together really does. I think even Sasha's taking a hit.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I think that this is not just a one-way street. I think we've got multiple factors here. I really want to see Bayley, and this is just me throwing this out there, Paul. I'd love to hear your ideas on how we can get Bayley back on track. My idea is that if I'm looking at this right now and I'm trying to fix it quicker than later, I would love to see her pair up with a legend or somebody that she could kind of do what she did at one point, and that was just be a fan. Like, oh, you're awesome. I love you. I want to be like you. And I don't know who it would be at the moment, but somebody. Let's just say a Trish Stratus. Let's say Trish Stratus came back for the Royal Rumble. And then you sign her on for a month just to be there to mentor Bayley or something. I don't know. I just want her to get back to that roots of what she did in NXT, that lovable character. I hate to be in this vein, but remember how Eugene is, you know – sad, I guess, is that they were kind of poking at mental illness. But Eugene, you loved him because he was his teddy bear. And you loved to root for him because he had a good heart. And he did all your favorite wrestling moves that they wasn't allowed to do anymore because it was Rock's move, the Stone Cold Steve Austin's move. It had moved on by that point. They've got to find a way to make Bayley lovable again.
I agree with you. I don't know if you go that far back just because I really, really wonder how much casual audiences would attach to somebody who is just basically fangirling. It worked in NXT just because it felt so genuine and it felt like just, you know, that everything was sort of a natural extension of learning about the character. She just happened to, you know, be like us.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that still sort of vibes with a more casual audience who may just see it in a very different way. Like, oh, she's sucking up, or I don't like this because, you know, she's trying to coattail, or, you know, something like that. I think it'd be really natural, I think, to sort of try to evolve the character and maybe a different, she could still be a really lovable person and show that when it comes to ring work or being champion or something like that, that you can go the extra mile and cross that bridge. And I felt like that was a story they were trying to tell with Alexa and they just screwed up in telling it somehow, which I still won't understand probably till the day I die, but I feel like you're going to have to try to turn her and make her more, I don't want to say darker, but you got to give her more of an edge, I think, to sort of try to hook on to people again, because I think you're going to have to do something a little more radical than just going back to the barrel again, you know?
And I understand that, and you know, I'm just throwing things out there because I honestly don't really know what to do. I really don't. I'm a little lost myself, and the darker image has kind of crossed my mind, and they kind of did that when NXT had her for a while there trying to, I think it was Nia Jax she was taking on, but she had to kind of grasp a darker side of her. And it was kind of fun to see a more aggressive Bayley who wasn't all flash, who wasn't doing a lot of the, you know, more extravagant things to get the crowd behind her. She was just in attack mode, and I think that would be great here. I think it definitely could be something that would work, especially like I mentioned just a minute ago about anti-heroes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of fun to see her go into that mode of she's serious and she's ready to take on the world and she's tired of playing games. And then maybe as fans get behind her, she does these things and she can kind of ease back into some of those other aspects that she likes to do of being a lovable person. But it scares me because it's something I can't really wrap my mind around. I'm still a big fan of hers. I think she still has a ton to offer. It's just I got to get the other portion of this audience to understand that and to get behind the same thing I'm gotten behind.
I mean, I don't want to short-tail the Kirk if she has either because it worked like gangbusters in NXT and it didn't really matter what age you were just because you sort of got caught up in the fever that she had not only of being fans of wrestlers but of just of being a very easy babyface to sort of latch onto. And I don't know. To me, there may have been more of an edge to the character in NXT because she won the title and then she got to defend it for a while and looked strong against some people who kept on coming and bringing a lot of heavy beatings, and she just ended up surviving and making it through every time until, you know, she ran into Asuka. So I don't know. I don't really know what to do with her either, but I definitely think they're going to have to come up with something because she has a lot to offer. I think she's a good mic worker. And, I mean, her in-ring skills, she's proven are top-notch, too, so.
I agree. And like you said, giving up a strong verbiage, I think that, you know, once again, WB may pull the curtain back on her a little bit and maybe expose the fact that, you know, she is a real person, you know, showing her fandom on maybe – they've already done it a little bit online on the WB.com, but maybe show more about who she is and maybe find some sympathy that way and then get people back on track. Who knows? But I just hope that they do well by her. She definitely deserves it. So.
Absolutely.
Let's move on and talk a little bit more about this mixed match challenge. And this has been exciting because we've been talking a little bit about this and we've been announcing all these new teams that are in play, and I'm really, really excited about this. I mean, we are only a week away from this thing starting, and it's going to be so much fun. I just can't wait to see what they do. But we've got some more teams announced that we haven't really talked about yet, Paul, and let's get through a couple, or actually a few of these. First on the dock here, the first team that's been announced recently is Jimmy Uso and Naomi, husband and wife. And this is a cool team, I think. It fits because we have Lana and Rusev as a team. It's only fair, husband and wife couples, you know. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that pairing?
This is one of the ones I kind of want to see. I think that even, you know, they are married and all that, I still think it's a super fun team, right? I mean, they both they sort of have a similar style, even though the Usos do like to throw hands more than Naomi does. I think there's a lot of possibilities for some fun action with these two together. So I kind of hope they go far.
Yeah, the same here. I really do. And I think that, you know, they're going to bring a lot of things to the table that people are not going to expect. Nia Jax has got a tag team partner, and no, it is not Enzo Amore. He was bliss blocked. So we have Apollo Crews teaming up with Nia. I think that could be an interesting dynamic. I don't know. What would you call that? Team undersold? I don't know. That they both have gotten close, but not really been able to do anything.
I don't really know a great name for this. No, never mind. That's a bad name. it is really bad. This could be interesting from a lot of different standpoints, especially if Nia is sort of the power person because we know Apollo can fly around. So that could be a really, really fun dynamic. And I know we reported that Kurt Angle was supposed to be replacing Enzo. That is not so. Apparently it's Apollo Crews, so maybe I just misread it and he's going to announce a replacement instead of being the replacement.
Yeah, I guess that's the case. And I would love to see Kurt Angle, but, you know, it makes more sense to have an active roster person rather than the GM get involved in all this. So.
Yeah, and I don't think you want him wrestling week in, week out for 12 weeks either.
Yeah, that just doesn't fit with what they need to do. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of curious. Not a terrible team, but I just kind of wonder. Basically, on Monday Night Raw, we got a couple other teams announced, and we have I'll kind of announce this one first. Alicia Fox and Goldust, which Team Goofy is what I'll call that one.
I kind of like this pairing a lot too, just because they could be weird together, and that's. not only where Goldust really shines, but I think Alicia Fox could find maybe a new lease. If this turns out, like, maybe Alicia turns into that masterpiece thing he kept teasing a while ago, that'd be great.
Oh my god, you know what? That would be great. I'd love to see it. He would call her his starlet, right?
Yeah, something like that, you know.
And his golden starlet. I don't know. I could see. And they are so weird that they could definitely play off each other. Oof, man, I'm getting excited thinking about that.
You know, thinking about it, though, it's all been scrapped, right? Because he's been palling around with Cedric, who's babyface.
I was trying not to talk about that. Maybe if Cedric shaves, we'll talk about it. Still think his beard's goofy. So let's go ahead and talk about this last team. And I saved this the best for last, to be honest with you. The Miz has a tag team partner, as you watched on Raw. It's Asuka. Oh, God. This is my first fan favorite now. They're my tops.
What an oil and water mixture of a team here. There's also a large part of me that wants to see more of that mismatch play here, where Miz sort of like starts cowering away, and Asuka just runs in and head kicks everybody. That could be really fun.
That could be fun. I just love it because, you know, he can talk his way out of anything, and she can kick her way out. maybe they're not my number one favorite. I do love this team. I love, you know, Asuka being a bit. It's also, you know, we mentioned last week about Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss, and that's a tough team too, though. I mean, you've got two people, Asuka and Braun Strowman, both involved in this mixed match challenge, and you just don't know how can they give one of these teams a loss. That's a big question for me.
You know, I wonder, first of all, what viewership's going to be, and two, I really hope this is just sort of a fun thing that's maybe not taken too seriously. You know, it's just a quick 20-minute little thing of wrestling, you have some fun, you go about your evening. You know, I don't need anything super serious from this, and I really hope WWE doesn't really book it that way either, even though they're all wrestling for charity. And like we said before, I'm assuming they're just going to donate to all of them since this is, you know, a fixed event, but it's, I just... Make it, like, nice and fun, not really all that serious. I think it'd be great.
And you're probably right about that. You know, this is built to be Facebook-centered, you know, just something that people can post. They can watch it on there. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's just really something fun. So let's just hope they do keep it to that. And they don't try to get it too much involved in other storylines, right? It's just fun and... I think that makes the most sense. So we'll see. But I love these names. These pairings have actually been really good. I mean, I'm really happy with what they've given us so far.
Like I said, I am interested in this. I will probably end up watching it. It's just, you know, like I said, if it's not taken too seriously and it's just a bit of fun, I think it'll be perfect.
Yeah. So we will be definitely checking that out next week. Mm-hmm. Enzo Amore, once again, was not allowed to be in that mixed match challenge, and there's some reasons why. Of course, him being sick was a big one. He had to be taken off the mixed match challenge primarily for that. You know, they were afraid that, you know, him being around all the other superstars and all that would really cause maybe some other people to get sick, and, you know, he was filming promos for the show and all that kind of stuff, but... They just did not want him to be around anyone, so he was taken off. I think it's probably the best decision with all that sickness going around, and Enzo is a great guy, and I don't know, I mean, I think this injury recently we saw on Raw, I don't know if it's kayfabe or what, but, mm-hmm. I mean, he's having a tough 2018 so far.
Yeah, it hasn't been going great for him. I think, like I said, I agree with you, I think they made the right call here, too. Enzo... was sick while they were filming the promos, and they wanted to get them all done before a certain date so they could just keep releasing them at a steady stream, which makes sense, right? You're trying to put this together kind of quickly, and you don't really want to waste a lot of time and all that great stuff. So, I mean, while unfortunate for him, you know, it opens the door for Apollo, and, you know, you don't really have to worry about any of your talent getting the flu and keeping it spreading around. So that's all good news there.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, they've had to be overcautious for this reason. And, you know, it's for the fact that the entire nation has dealt with this flu. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've heard on the news or somewhere that the flu has gotten somebody really sick. And, of course, there's been deaths of elderly people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So WWE, a traveling circus, You cannot have that many people in close quarters and have at least one or two be sick. You got to keep everybody quarantined. So
right.
It is what it is. Let's talk about someone that could be joining up in that circus. Let's talk about Serena Deeb. She could be making her return to WWE. They're apparently interested.
This is great. If you listen to any of our Mae Young Classic coverage on W2M here between myself, Patrick Ketza, and Harry Broadhurst over there at Wrestling Unwrapped, we talked a lot about this. I think we even talked about this on the show some as well, in that Serena Deeb performed very well in that tournament, and keeping her as like a veteran presence around NXT, I think would be great. If they want to bring her onto the main roster, that's fine too, but she's another really solid hand you can have around, especially with the way you're bringing up a lot of younger talent now in that division. Having an experienced hand around is certainly very, very helpful, and I think Deeb fits the bill perfectly.
I agree. And she's been there. She's done that. She knows how that everything works at WWE, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's been on the big shows, Monday Night Raw. She knows, you know, what's expected of her. And I think she'd be a great hand. I'm right there with you. I think what we saw at the Mae Young Classic was just a peek into what she can still do. And I'm really happy that she got over and got past all the demons that have kind of kept her back. And that's what's really, really cool to see. And I hope the best for her. I really do want to see her. It'd be really nice to see her in that Women's Royal Rumble and just make a surprise appearance. I think that'd be a big, big deal. So, let's jump into this. We saw Monday Night Raw. Miz announced on there that they're going to have a reality show for himself and his wife, Miz and Maryse. And I think it's called Miz and the Mrs., right? Isn't that correct, Paul?
Miz and Mrs.
Miz and Mrs. And this will be on USA Network. It's going to be a reality show for them later this year. I can't say that I'm not going to want to watch it. I'm probably going to want to watch it. I do not watch Total Divas. I don't watch any of the reality programming that WWE has out there. But that one has me interested.
I have such a love-hate relationship with reality TV. I might watch a little bit of this because, like, I mean, we're all fans of The Miz on this show. And later this year, I'm assuming it's going to start filming, I guess, now-ish, and then they'll debut it then. But I mean, if they wait, then they might be around to you know, start the show with them having the baby and all that, and then just how to live while raising a child and being on the road 300 some days a year, you know. So
yeah,
it is interesting. So I mean, I'm sure it has an appeal out there to a lot of other people. I just don't know if I'm one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee you I'll probably record the first episode, second episode, and I'll probably find some reason why to not watch it.
Right.
I'm not going to say that I don't watch reality TV. I do watch some reality TV, not a lot of it. I don't watch the drama-filled stuff. My version of reality TV, Paul, is watching Little Couple, Little World, Little People, Big World, things that are more on the gear towards, you know, I think families and things like that. It's not geared towards everybody fighting and arguing and just silly stuff, right? Just more family-oriented shows like that. So, and I don't watch a lot of them. Like I said, I probably named the two out of three I watch. The best reality TV show I think out there is not even on right now. It's called The Little Johnstons. Now that's an awesome show. It's a little family, and the husband and wife always play off sex talk. It's just funny.
So. It sounds like your kind of show, Gary.
It really is. I'm going to be very honest with you, Dad. You know, I'll give you one line. I love the line that he had. He goes, "Yeah, I'm trying to convince my wife into getting a, I'm thinking about getting a tattoo of Florida, so my wife can go." She can travel downstate or something like that. I forget, it was something really sexual about basically going downstairs. I can't remember. Not to ask my wife. She loved it too, which don't tell her I told anybody. She loved that. But anyway, we're going to move on to something else. Not reality TV, but yeah, I'm really happy for Miz. Him and Maryse both, they, you know, have been really entertaining every time we've seen them. So let's get a chance to see what they can do on USA. But yes, so there's other great news out there, though, that's going on right now. And what's interesting is the fact that, you know, amongst all these different quick hits and stuff we've got to talk about, we have to also jump into something that is kind of a bummer. And it's something that I get, but it still kind of sucks. We've been talking about Neville and what's his status and all that. And it's definitely apparent he's not coming back to WWE. He is going to be out. And what we're hearing now is that WWE is just forcing him to write his contract out. Once it's done, then he can leave. And, of course, he's going to have to wait those 90 days before he can actually be on TV for any other company. Wow. And I honestly, Paul, I don't have the contract in front of me. I don't know how long his contract is. But, man, that does suck for him.
Yeah, nobody seems to know when exactly his contract expires. So it's just playing the waiting game. Yeah, this absolutely sucks. Neville's a terrific talent. It seemed like WWE had a lot of high hopes for him, and just creative differences, man. Neville, I think, proved that he can be more than Cruiserweight champion, and WWE just doesn't see that, or, you know, doesn't have room for him right now, or however it's going to work out. But WWE's loss is a ton of other people's gain once he hits the scene.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really, you know, exciting when he does get back. I think this guy, you know, he's not going to lose a step. I'm sure he's training like crazy. He's probably got himself ready. But, I mean, it stinks when you hear about someone that has this, you know, timetable and it's not something they can use, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that's just basically a waste of time. And this guy is not – he's not old, but he's not exactly young either. So – all this time he's spending away from the ring, he's getting paid, but he's probably missing out on tons of opportunities he could be doing right now and things that I think that would make him happy and build his career. And it's just, it sucks. But I think once he does hit the ring of any other company, I don't know which one it'll be, he'll hit the ground running. This guy is super talented. I love him, and he'll probably go back to being Pac and just being that great wrestler he is.
I agree with you. I agree with you entirely.
But yeah, I mean, so, you know, we'll have to continue to wait this thing out, and then, you know, one of these days we'll find out when Neville is actually going to be leaving the company. But yeah, so let's move on and see what's going on with New Japan World. That's right, we've been wanting to talk about it because we've been really curious to see how Wrestle Kingdom 12, how Alpha versus Omega would really affect New Japan, how it would affect New Japan World and their subscribers. Well, apparently, New Japan has had a lot of success with their subscribe numbers. The count has been up to 95,000, and it's been an estimated 2,500 have joined in the first 2 days for Wrestle Kingdom 12.
I think you had your comment a little soon there. I think it's 25,000. If I remember reading correctly.
Like, oh, 25,000. I am so sorry. Yeah, you're right. 95,000, but 25,000 was the added into that, right?
Right.
Before.
Yeah, so somewhere around the 70,000 mark beforehand, which this is great. Even if it is short term, it's still more money being brought in. Their name obviously got out there to a lot more people who were curious enough to check it out. Whether they stick around or not is going to be the real kicker here, but that is a very nice boost. I mean, you think about that around 8-something American, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. See, and at least they can count. I can't. I have no idea how to do that. So not my forte, to be honest with you. I'm more of an English major kind of guy. So, but this is a big deal, Paul. This is huge. And, you know, this is bringing up some other things. You know, Kidani, of course, you know, is really looking into the success of what's going on there and noticing that Jericho probably did bring a lot of those numbers. I mean, he's a guy that has the WWE name all over him. He's a big deal. So they're looking into bringing more of these WWE former talents, you know, people that have that on their resume. And, you know, he also wants to do some other things and, you know, mentions needing to basically, you know, push younger talent, you know, especially younger Japanese talent to do some bigger things. This is really, you know, a cool thing to see, though, because of just basically the whole storyline of Wrestle Kingdom 12 was about, you know.
Mm-hmm. This is really interesting for the most part because if you're working WWE and you maybe hear this from Kidani at some point, Doors open, fellas, is basically what he's saying. you want to come in and help us out and make some money and, you know, see if we can't do something more with you, then let's do it. I think the younger heavyweight Japanese talent bit is very, very important here, too, though, because we've seen a huge, huge influx of Gaijins into New Japan over the last 5 years or so. And not really finding a lot of new faces to maybe replace them with when they leave. So, I mean, the search for younger talent will continue for them, and you could see a lot of it is sort of starting to work out as far as the first wave of young Lions coming back and really making a big difference for them. So, basically, they have Okada now, and they're already looking for the next ace, is what it looks like after him, which is wonderful, at least from the perspective that they're already out there looking. And, I mean, if they can't train him, there's a ton of great talent over in Japan as well that I would love to see wrestle for New Japan. So,
yeah. It's a big deal, and it's really exciting to see that this is moving forward the way it is, you know. And like you said, there's so many more talents in Japan that don't work for New Japan, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they've got some people in their backyard they can add to their roster. WWE talent, like we just mentioned, Neville. Maybe Neville's that next big guy for him to make some big money, you know. Who knows?
I mean, we talk a lot about Dolph Ziggler maybe leaving the company, too. There's another one.
God, that's a dream for me, Paul. That is a dream. Just to see Dolph Ziggler no longer under Vince's thumb, and then to see him go to New Japan and light the world on fire.
Oh. I'd love to see it. I think that'd be great for him. I think it'd be great for New Japan. It's definitely a way to keep getting people to pay attention to you, and you just, I mean, you don't want to go too far because you want to stay away from the stigma that Impact eventually got, you know, where it's just, yeah, you leave WWE, you go to Impact. You don't want it to be, you leave WWE, go to New Japan. You know, and mm-hmm, that's, I very much don't think that's the kind of perception you want. So I hope they're aware of that as well.
I'm right there with you. You know what would be great is if Ring of Honor kind of helped with this and they signed a few of those talents. And yeah, then, you know, the crossover's still there, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not oversaturation.
Exactly.
So. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting to see what's going on in New Japan. I'm just super excited for them and to see that they've had some great success recently, and hopefully they add on to that. But yeah, I mean, what's great too is the fact that, you know, what's going on over there also means that they have to switch things around and, you know, of course, add those new additions. We saw a recent press conference that Okada introduced a new member to Chaos. That new member, Jay Wyatt. Mm-hmm. Wow. He is now a member of Chaos, and he says that he still will want his, you know, matchup with Okada down the line. But, yeah, no, not definitely not a Bullet Club guy. Of course, you know, we saw at New Year's Dash, he turned that down pretty quick to Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Chaos, wow.
Yeah, this is this literally happened while me, Sean, and Harry were doing the special that Gary just mentioned at the top of the show. So we looked a little silly maybe afterwards, but you know, it happened during, so we can't really fix it. But Jay White adding into Chaos, realizing he can't fight Bullet Club alone, makes a lot of sense. I really like this extra bit though, that he doesn't understand why stablemates aren't fighting each other for titles. Because that's been a big complaint. And at least for me, I've wanted to see at least Ishii challenge Okada for the championship at some point. Especially since he beat him in the G1 2 years ago now. I think there's a lot of opportunities from this. And even if it's just friendly, the door needs to be opened. And if this is how they do it, you know, hats off, because I think this would be a real big game changer for them.
I agree, and this is a big deal. This really is, because it's not only an exciting moment for Chaos and for the fans of New Japan, but I think it's an important moment for Jay Wyatt, and like you said, it could change the way they do things. You know, him and his presence and the things that he said could definitely be the marker for us to see, you know, future factions having intermingling of matches and, you know, things like that. So I think it's cool, and I'm really happy for him. Jay Wyatt definitely. I think this overcomes what we saw at Wrestle Kingdom 12, because big disappointment, I think, for a lot of us fans of Wyatt. Now we're not so disappointed. So, mm-hmm.
Let's talk about one last thing here. We've got to talk some Ring of Honor contracts. Well, just a couple of them here. We want to let everybody know that Ring of Honor has actually re-signed the boys. That's right. So they'll be following along with Ring of Honor a little longer. And we also have the Beer City Bruiser. Yeah, that's right. He's still going to be a part of that company. Really cool. One guy we're not right now at the moment going to see, and maybe down the line it'll happen, but who knows? Silas Young, he has not signed with Ring of Honor just yet. His contract has expired. Who knows what's going on with that? I don't know why they haven't already got him inked in. But, yeah, that's a few guys. I'm really, you know, like I said, I'm really happy for the boys. I think the Beer City Bruiser, he's a great talent, really bummed about the Silas Young thing.
Yeah, so I mean, mostly these contracts are for U.S. exclusivity as far as TV and other stuff goes for that. It's not saying you can't work other places, even though in Silas's case, I think it was more firmed up that way because he had to leave AIW and AAW after signing his contract last year. So it could be more, but that's usually what it's for. So I don't know if we see him work both, because there was talk on his Twitter of being in Orlando and maybe doing something because he was bored. So it has some people thinking he might be jumping to Impact, which I don't know if he's heard, but they're trying to move to Canada, and he's not Canadian, so I don't know. I feel like it's probably just them not being able to hammer out terms yet. And I mean, Ring of Honor made a ton of money last year, so maybe Silas just trying to get a little piece of that pie. Because, I mean, he's a big part of that success, I feel like.
I agree with you. And I think that's a big part of what he's doing right here. I think you hit the nail on the head. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, money's always a big motivator. And I think it's motivating him because he does know what he's done for Ring of Honor. I think he's realized, and I think that they've realized, he's a bigger star than they once saw. Mm-hmm. I think you've definitely got a big portion of that Ring of Honor audience who are definitely checking out Silas Young and everything he's doing, and I think that they probably will try to make that move. Now, if he is looking more into Impact Wrestling, it's very interesting. I know he's a real man, but can he be a real man in that kind of cold? And
that's a pretty decent impression.
I try, and I can't do it. Now you're going to screw me up. But I love Silas Young to death. And if he goes to Impact, we watch Impact. So if he goes, I'm okay with it. But I just love his interaction with the guys at Ring of Honor. I love him in the Beer City Bruiser. I just want to continue seeing that work. So who knows? We'll see.
But
there you go. That is our quick hits for this episode. And, of course, you know, I'm sure on the Friday morning show we'll have some other big news topics to jump into. But for now, we are now going to actually move on and talk about this week's TV taping of Ring of Honor. So let's go ahead and do that now.
All right. So we opened the show this week with some highlights for Final Battle 2017, which if you haven't watched, it's a good show. I would recommend you go watch it. You also, honestly, you don't need to watch the main event other than the finish. So, and speaking of the main event, the winner of that main event, Dalton Castle, comes on down to get his traditional promo in. That happens at every company, but Ring of Honor calls it one of their own traditions as well. And talks about how he's made a lot of mistakes in his past. He's had a lot of doubters, but he proved them all wrong. He proved joining Ring of Honor wasn't a mistake, or, you know, staying for that matter, because there was a lot of talk last year that he might be leaving them. And as long as he's the champ, he's going to be a, quote, megalodon swimming through the damn ocean, Gary, which I love that line. Ancient shark references, definite way to get over.
Oh, my God. That was too funny. I have to admit. I mean, this is what makes Dalton Castle the guy. I love it.
After that line, though, he's interrupted by Jay Lethal, and Castle's really surprised because they've never really interacted with each other or talked or as Dalton puts, Jay's never even sent him a Facebook friendship request, Gary. Like, that is unjustifiable.
Freaking jerk.
We all know why Lethal's out here, though. He wants a shot at the world title. He ends up congratulating Dalton as well. And Castle is sort of flabbergasted by his challenge and needs to take a seat. So he sits on one of the boys and then offers the other boy for Jay to sit on. And Jay, he just can't do it. He tries, and he's just not comfortable with it because he finds Dalton to be a, quote, really weird guy. You can't write stuff like that.
A really weird guy. Yeah. Oh, my. Yeah. This whole thing is hilarious. I got to give.
This is classic Dalton.
It's everything about him, and of course, this is why I love him, and that's why I love this segment. Just Jay Lethal's face, and just the awkwardness about sitting on the boy. Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I mean, I think it's just kind of an extravagant way for him to kind of come out here and cut this promo and just have a great time. That's why he felt very comfortable in this whole atmosphere, and I really think it was great for them to showcase him this way. And it's cool. I was totally down with this. I love Jay Lethal. Didn't have to be the bad guy here. He didn't have to come in and be a jerk. He could just be Jay Lethal. Mm-hmm. And they interacted so very well together. So I was totally on board. This was a lot of fun.
I agree. I enjoyed this entire promo. And of course, afterwards, you have Punishment Martinez run in and hit the choke slam on him and pose with the title. He won the Survival of the Fittest tournament, which I can't remember if they actually ever announced during the last set of tapings before that led into Final Battle. But he, of course, that means he has a shot at the title somewhere down the line. I wager he might be his first defense, because Lethal to me sounds like a pay-per-view match. But we'll just have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
And we also we get three Ring of Honor Club bumps during this before that lead into commercials. So very heavily hyping this up already, which is good. Honestly, just because, you know, subscribing, all that, more money for you guys. If it's better, like I said last time, if it's better than being a ringside member, then please, dear God, let it be. we go backstage to the Kingdom. Taven says he's beaten everybody worth beating, and they are coming for all the gold. So he brings world titles, six-man titles, tag titles. They're all coming the Kingdom's way because 2018 is going to be their year, Gary, and Ring of Honor cannot hold them back forever. Boy, howdy, do I agree with that.
I agree with it, and I hope it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really do, and I think the Kingdom has a lot to offer Ring of Honor and everyone involved, and heck, I mean, going to New Japan, too. I mean, I think these guys can go anywhere and just do a fabulous job, and I think that they're going to bring a new wave of heat that they haven't brought just yet. So we'll have to see how it all shakes out in the end, but I think the potential we have right in front of us is exciting for the Kingdom.
I agree. And this brings us to our first matchup of the evening. Our Ring of Honor TV title on the line as Silas Young defends against Simon Grimm, of all people, who the last time we saw on TV took the pinfall. So I don't know how that gets you a title match, but here we are.
I know.
This was very much about showing off Silas. Look at all the cool stuff he can do. He can actually do a little bit of lucha. He can hit hard. Grimm gets in a little, but this was all about Silas, who wins it with misery.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that this is, you know, not a great for Simon Grimm for sure, but I think it at least his face is out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's a new guy to the company, and he's got to take, I think, his bumps and his lumps and all those things to kind of get himself into the groove, and at least people know who he is. And I think that's what's important here. You knew all the way around that Silas Young was going to win this match. He just knew it, and that's okay. That's good, and I think Silas Young needs to look good, especially being that, you know, TV title holder, and especially for what we'll talk about, you know, pretty soon here. But I think this was a decent match. It really just, like you said, it put a big light on Silas Young, and that's great. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we have some progression here, too. Kenny King comes out in the post-match to no reaction. Like, the crowd doesn't do anything for him. However, he's running down Silas. He puts over Philly, all these other things. Finally brings up Final Battle and says that Silas had to basically cheat to get it done, to use a beer bottle whenever he beat even though he went on to beat Punishment clean, he had to go that extra mile to keep Kenny down. So Kenny brings up, you know, he's already signed all the paperwork and done his homework to get his rematch for the championship, but he's ready to fight. He's had a bunch of beer, and he's just ready to go in there, kick some ass, and ends up spitting beer into Silas's face, blinding him, and security runs in to keep him apart. I actually kind of like this. Kenny didn't feel like he was trying too hard, which I feel like does happen on the microphone sometimes. To me, this felt very, very just sort of him, which I think needs to happen more often.
It really was Kenny. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, you know, adding in, you know, the tough talk, you know, the swearing and all that. I mean, I think it just shows his emotion, and that's fine. And I think he does a pretty good job of it. But, I mean, you know, he's Kenny King. I think really most of his work is done pretty well in the ring. I think he does fine on the mic, but it's I don't know. I was okay with this. I'll say it that way. I wasn't blown out of the water by Kenny King on this one, but I think he did a decent job.
Mm-hmm. And it certainly did sell that the feud is sort of about hatred now, too. Like, Kenny is not at all a fan of what Silas did to him, and I felt like they came across well here, too. So
yeah, it definitely did, and he did his job. I don't want to take anything away from Kenny King. He did his job and got the point across, but I just, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he works hard at it, but sometimes, you know, you kind of are into what he's saying, and sometimes you're just not all the way there.
Exactly, yeah. We get some more final battle highlights of Bully Ray's last match. We get the Women of Honor title announcement again, too, which I mentioned started on the 20th in Nashville, and I said it wasn't a TV taping. I was wrong. It is. So there is hope that we'll see some of that happen in the coming weeks. But this brings us to our next match, is the Briscoe squash Ryan Nova and Eli Isom from the ROH Dojo. This is, I love heel Briscoes in the modern age. They're just... they're so mean and angry and full of hate, and it's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
You know, it really is. It's for the fact that you don't want to F with those guys.
Yeah.
You don't. I mean, and when they're heels and when they're angry and they're mad, and you're just like, oof, I'm glad I'm not in that ring with those guys. Mm-hmm. And it makes it special. It means that these guys are not old hat. Because, oh, let's be honest, when these guys are sweet or they're nice or they're just, you know, good old boys – it's kind of fun, it's kind of cartoony, but you don't feel like that they matter. Now you know they matter. So this is good. This is really, really good.
Yeah, and in the post-match, they bring up ending Bully Ray's career, but they're ready to move on and get those tag team titles. So it looks like the Motor City Machine Guns are next up on the hit list, and I don't like their odds, Gary.
I'm right there with you. I think they may want to spend some extra time in Detroit and just leave the titles wherever they may be.
We cut backstage to see Silas and the Beer City Bruiser. Bruiser's confident that Silas can handle anything Kenny King's going to bring at him. And he wants to be a tag team champion. And he's got a guy in mind, since Silas clearly has other things on his plate. And Silas says, you know what, Bruiser, you have my blessing. And this is such smart booking. I really wish we would see this in more promotions, where you have a guy find singles success and his tag partner sort of left in the wind. I mean, this is just, I dig this so much. I thought this was cool.
It just makes too much sense to be wrestling.
Right. That's exactly it, Gary.
It just does. And no, I'm right there with you. This is the thing that my God, I mean, did we really have to take this long to do this? I mean, mm-hmm. Come on. And I'm so glad it is Silas Young that's involved in it. I think it's great. It really, really is great. And I'm really kind of curious who that tag partner is going to be for the Beer City Bruiser. I can't wait to find out.
I'm with you. I think it's a really, really good idea, because we've seen the Bruiser work well in tag work. So I think that's a great way to use them. We cut to the Hung Bucks, who are all pissed off about the Addiction's attack on them at Final Battle, which we get highlights of here. We learn that Scorpio Sky and Addiction's called themselves SoCal Uncensored, which is a, I don't know if they're still in business, but they used to review Southern California wrestling shows online. So that's a nice little shout out to those guys there. Paige, however, is all pissed off and ready to spill the brains on the floor for the attack. So doesn't take much to get Adam Page pissed off, Gary.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, another guy that, you know, if he when he gets upset, you know, you want to watch out. But I think it's going to be kind of fun to kind of see how that all unfolds and to see, you know, how far, you know, they really do go. Because this could be, you know, a pretty rough feud.
Mm-hmm. And this brings us to our main event as Flip Gordon takes on the villain, Marty Scurll. And we open with a old school picture and picture promo, which I don't recall Ring of Honor ever doing before. And he's not really mad about losing a final battle, and he's proud of what Jay did to win. And he takes credit for getting him that far and for giving him the confidence to challenge for the world title. And he wants a world title match too, which Marty Scurll versus Dalton Castle. Sign me up. That's money, and I can't wait to see that. For this match, however, Flip gets in a whole ton of stuff, really has Marty on the ropes throughout the match, but it's just not enough. He ends up falling to the Ghostbuster. I mean, we talk about this all the time. Flip in these matches with the Bullet Club really does get to shine. It's clear that they have, you know, big aspirations for this guy, and as far as the ring work goes, it's really hard to disagree with him because he fits the bill of what people are looking for today.
Oh, you're exactly right. And this is a guy that really honestly, I look at and I say if he doesn't have some big moments, you know, when it comes to titles or something like that in his future, mm-hmm. there's something wrong. Because I think, you know, whether it's going for a title or winning titles or doing big things in 2018, I see it. It's got to come. And I'm not saying he's going to win the Ring of Honor Championship. I'm just saying, you know, go out there and win a tag title or win a, you know, even the TV title. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But this guy is too valuable, too important. And not only that, I think, boy, it's going to be hard for me also not to see by next year. This guy may be the biggest baby face that they have. He could be. I love what he has to offer. And I, to be honest with you, this whole thing with the Bullet Club has really helped. You're right. This has been something because of the foil that they've been to him. And, you know, we see it again. Marty Scurll, he does everything he can to beat Marty. And, you know, he puts Marty right there on the edge, but he still cannot win. Mm-hmm. So this is a big deal. It's a big feud. And I think it's cool. I think they're onto something here. I can't get over how great this young guy is, though. Man, he is just top-notch right now in Ring of Honor.
Absolutely. This is a great match, too. So if you guys, Fight TV or Fight.TV on the interwebs or their app, go watch this episode for that main event. It is absolutely worth it. It's a really great match.
Yeah, definitely. I can't get over how much fun this guy is to watch. So yeah. Paul is exactly right. Go find him. I just wanted to get on my high horse right now. I am angry at my local television station that Sinclair, I guess, owns. Because they don't have Ring of Honor on right now for some reason.
They sure don't.
A little pissed off about that. I'm thinking about writing them in old man fashion. I'm going to get on there. I may even send them a letter in the mail.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you got to watch out. I'm really pissed off right now. Beer City Bruiser might as well have me as his tag partner because right now I'll fight any man. To
spoilers.
Get yeah, spoilers. Could you see me in the ring, Beer City Bruiser? He's like, are you? He goes, okay, kid, are you ready? I'm like, well, I may not be a real man, but I can give you a beer.
Good enough.
So, yeah. But anyway, well, we'll have to see. But yes, Ring of Honor, I can't wait till we get it next week, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We have some big things coming your way in 2018, I'm sure, with that promotion. So we'll be talking more about that on next Tuesday morning show. You don't want to miss that. So you don't want to miss any of the other action we got coming your way. This Friday morning, we have to talk some Impact Wrestling. We're going to get into some more quick hits that you're not going to want to miss out on, and a lot more. That is going to be a big show. That'll be part two to be looking forward to. And hey, if you want to come check out all of the other great content, of course, me and Paul did a Raw review. A lot of fun there. Harry and Liz, and of course, everyone involved in Wrestling of the Max usually tries our best to give you some other great reviews. We've got SmackDown Live. We've got 205 Live reviews coming your way. And also, don't forget the NXT review. Can't wait to jump into that, too. That'll be the first NXT of 2018. That's going to be so much fun to get into as well. So big show's coming. Make sure you go check out all the other great content at W2Mnet.com. That's right. Not only do you get these wrestling programs, you'll get a ton more wrestling programs to listen to. So go over there and, hey, make sure you go ahead and check out all the other shows because we do video games. Of course, we got the sports, and we also have entertainment. So lots of great stuff there. If you want to find us through your podcast networks, wherever you want to go, then that means you need to go to the W2M Network. Or just Wrestling to the Max to come find us and subscribe, rate, and review. You'll get everything you want in one nice place, and you'll get a chance to check out every single thing we do. And hey, make sure you give big love to 411mania.com and LastWordOnProWrestling.com. They do a lot for us when it comes to support, and we want to support them. We thank them for sure. But yeah, and that's our show, Paul. It just seems like it flew by, but we are done. Excited about next Thursday night or Friday morning show. We're going to get into some cool content. So there you go. And hopefully we'll have Sean on. And then, yeah, we'll have everybody back together, hopefully. So let's get ready to do it. So until then, guys, we will catch you guys down the road.
Have a good one, guys.
The previous podcast is a W2Mnet.com original podcast. For more great content like this, go to W2Mnet.com for the worlds of wrestling, video games, entertainment, and sports.